And joining me right now here on the phone line to go over the latest on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is this guy went to camp on Tuesday because he's super cool. He's my good friend, Anthony Nockreiner. Anthony, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Mark. I'm excited that, even though it's just the Hall of Fame game and, none of the starters are going to play, I'm excited we got football back, man.
What was it like going to camp on a Tuesday morning?
It was good. It was fun. We got there a little later than we anticipated, but it was fun, man, just to go to practice. I mean, it was a nice setup. Thankfully, Tampa Bay had, free water, and they didn't try to make more money on people trying to stay hydrated on such a hot morning over in Tampa. But it was fun, man. Like I said, it was really cool just to see all the players, see Julio Jones catching passes from Tom Brady, see Mike Evans, just see all the guys. Also see our big defensive line with Akeem Hicks, Vita Vea, William Golston, even the second-round pick, Logan Hall. I mean, it was just a lot of fun. I'm really excited about this team and, excited that we get Tom Brady for at least one more year. And I know that the Dolphins report and all that stuff came out, but at the end of the day, Tom Brady decided to come back to Tampa. I don't care what anybody says. I don't know how Miami was going to facilitate a trade to get Peyton and Brady and Tyreek Hill. So, in the end of the day, all that crap just doesn't really matter.
What's it like seeing Brady in person that up close?
It's funny because you take for granted his height, but then you kind of see he's like, oh yeah, he's actually a tall guy. That's the biggest thing. It's just like, he's such a tall dude, and you kind of just lose that when you see him on TV. And at the same time, too, like, you can just spot him, you just kind of spot the way he walks, and you can just go, okay, yeah, there's Brady. There he is. He's easy to spot out of the group when they're walking from field to field, drill to drill.
Yeah, he's bigger than you think. And I've seen him play before, but when you're that close to him, yeah, he's 6'4". I want your thoughts on this. He doesn't have a rocket arm, but it the ball is perfect every time. What did you see with the release?
It looked great, and it was on time. I mean, there was one errant throw by Brady, but at the same time, too, that's why they practice, and you see it even in games. But you're still talking about an 85% rate of where the ball's going to be where it's supposed to be from Brady. And it's still got a nice touch on it. I mean, there was one, I think it was past Skelly during practice, and Julio Jones is running a fade route to the corner of the end zone. Brady lobs it up, and it's good coverage. I think it was Jamel Dean or one of the other corners. But they had good coverage on Julio, but Julio was still able to catch it and toe tap it in the corner of the end zone. And it's just like, man, that looks great. I hope I see that on Sundays. So yeah, he may not have the 99 mile per hour fastball anymore, but he can still locate that son of a gun.
You were telling me off air, it was super hot outside. The dude is 45 years old doing this. And what is he, what is this exactly?
Well, that's what they say. I mean, what was it? His dad said a couple of years ago that you're going to have to put him in a straitjacket and carry him off the field. That's how you're going to get Tom off the football field. I mean, here's the deal. If Tampa Bay has another successful season, just like they did, and he plays well, and what if he wins the MVP this year? How do you know that he's really going to say no and he's going to hang it up? I mean, if he has another MVP-like season, obviously he can still do this. Now, obviously he'll be a free agent, so we don't know what he'll or where he'll go. But at the same time, too, it's just, man, I mean, this guy's 45 years old, and he's still slinging as if he was 25. I mean, he's got better numbers than in his 20s. But then, of course, the league has changed, and the rules have changed the way they defend the pass nowadays. But it's just impressive to see a guy that takes care of his body the way he does and just see him continue to defy time. Now, time's going to win out eventually, but – I mean, I don't know. Do you chalk up a loss if Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl this year and calls it a career and retires? I mean, that's my question. Does Father Time actually take a loss in that scenario?
I don't even know after a while. I'm just like, it's so shocking. And I don't know. What did you think of, you're bringing him up, so the acquisition of Julio Jones with Russell Gage and Mike Evans, what do you think of this wide receiving core right now?
I'm excited for it. I think there's a ton of potential here. I mean, Julio looked good. I mean, it didn't look like, he was ailing from anything in terms of anything lingering. Now, again, I'm not a doctor, and I only saw one day of practice. But from even the videos that you've seen from previous practices, I mean, he just looks good. And at the same time, too, I don't think they're asking or demanding him to do too much. during practice. I think what, even today, Mike Evans and others, or was it yesterday, I think that Mike Evans and guys had, you know, a Veterans Day off. So I think Dan Bigg's managing these guys well. But it'll obviously come down to, you know, when we get in season and how he gets, you know, how he goes throughout the year. But I mean, you can't be nothing but excited about this potential receiving core. And eventually, you know, we'll get Chris Godwin back possibly for the opener. But I mean, you're talking about four strong wide receivers. And at the same time, too, I came away impressed with Scotty Miller. I mean, it's a dogfight for that 5 and 6 spot in the wide receiver role. You still have Tyler Johnson, the third round pick from a couple of years ago. And you go back to 2020, he had a big catch in the divisional round game against the Saints. Scotty Miller, obviously, the big catch in the NFC Championship game. And I think Scotty Miller is going to be the guy that wins out on this, because I think you can do a lot more things with Scotty. I think he's better in terms of in the wide receiver screen game. So I think you can do things with him as the number 5 wide receiver. And at the same time, too, you can add him in the running game. You know, we saw that towards the end of last year against Carolina. I think if we're smart, we incorporate more Scotty Miller in that regard, the same way the Rams kind of incorporate Cooper Kupp in a similar role, or Robert Woods, they did with Robert Woods a couple of years ago. So I think if we incorporate Scotty in the run game, I think that adds even more dynamic to the offense. So I'm excited for the wide receiver core. Obviously, the first four names are, you know, Pro Bowlers, a couple of them Hall of Famers. It's exciting, and it just means that this offense is going to be even more potent. But obviously, the key is going to be keeping everybody healthy.
Yes, I was going to ask you that. We're here with my good friend Anthony Nockreiner talking Buccaneers football here on a Thursday. What about the offensive line? What's the latest, buddy? Because I know this has to be a concern for you.
I love our offensive line. I mean, it sucks that Ryan Jensen's out, and obviously we haven't heard for sure what it is, and maybe that leads to some optimism because maybe it's not going to be a season-ending injury, because otherwise I think they would have announced that by now. But, you know, obviously he's going to miss time, and that's going to be up to Robert Hainsey. But at the same time, too, we're going to have a chance to see Hainsey as the starting center in these preseason games, in these joint practices, and I think that's going to give the coaching staff for Tampa Bay a really good indicator of whether or not he can handle it. And I think Nick Leverett's shown some promise. He held up well last year as a guard against the Indianapolis Colts. And so I think there's promise there, but obviously we got to see what the pads do when we're actually playing somebody else. And, you know, because again, if there's any pressure up the middle consistently on Brady, or I guess in this case, Blaine Gabbert with these preseason games, then they're going to have to find somebody to shore that up. Because we can't have any of that, especially with our first four games between the Saints, the Cowboys, the Chiefs, and the Packers. So there's got to be protection up the gut for Tom Brady.
All right, on defense, what do you think of that D-line, especially you add Akeem Hicks, you got Vita Vea. What do you think of that unit?
I saw all three of those guys line up next to one another in the run game drill during practice on Tuesday. And I'm just sitting there, I'm just looking like, dude, these guys are giants. They're massive. I mean, Vita Vea is already a huge individual. He's not super tall. But then you look at Akeem Hicks and how much of a mountain of a man he is. William Golson's no slouch in that department either. And he's been a great run defender for us. And he's gotten even more savvy as a pass rusher. And then on top of that, too, you've still got, you know, Jorion Shanka, the first-round pick from last year, and Shaq Barrett, who switches over to his more natural side. I mean, it just looks ferocious. I feel like this defense, after last year, it just feels like they've got something to prove. Even watching in practice yesterday, it just feels like there's just a different energy about them, and that the fact that that play from last year against the Rams at the end of the game, I think hangs with them still, and they're going to use that as a motivational factor. I think our defense is going to actually be far better than they were last year, and they were still a pretty good unit. Obviously, the injuries in the back end really hurt them, but this unit to me feels like it's going to be a really dangerous unit.
You know what's interesting is when I went on Saturday, you know, post-game or post-practice, they're like, hey, all right, coach is going to come over and talk. I still think Bruce Arians is the coach of this team. And then Todd Bowles showed up, and he starts talking, oh, that's right. I forgot about that. How about you, Anthony?
So the funny part was Bruce Arians out there. He's on a golf cart. He's sitting there. I mean, I saw him on Tuesday after Brady was finishing up on pass Kelly. He, you know, there's him and Arians just talking and, you know, talking football, talking X's and O's for a quick bit. And, you know, Arians is right there watching the offensive plays. Now, he's not, you know, yelling or saying a whole lot. Maybe he's saying a few things here and there, but he's still out there. And it was kind of weird to see because I was like, yeah, usually, you know, you don't see the former head coach out on the practice field. But there's Bruce Arians. And so It was fun. It was cool to see Todd Bowles just kind of taking it all in, just like a head coach does. Because I felt like a lot more like Larry Foote and Byron Leftwich. I saw those coaches a lot more, which I think you're probably naturally going to see because it's going to be more of those guys, the coordinators that are really getting things going. As you know, the head coach just kind of does that whole CEO thing where he's just kind of watching and observing everything, and then going back and putting input once they watch film. But it's just a cool dynamic. Like I said, it was cool seeing Byron, because that was the cool part, is they were doing, again, it was passing drills with the wide receivers, and they were coming to our end of the end zone because we were standing at the end zone line, and, you know, you just see Byron interacting with the wide receivers, talking to Scotty, you know, seeing him talk to Kyle Trask as well, and some of the quarterbacks, and then, you know, even talking to Tom on certain things. It's just cool to see that kind of interaction, because you could definitely tell where Byron Leftwich was, as well as Larry Foote.
What did you think of Kyle Trask there at camp?
I like him. I mean, I don't really have a problem letting Kyle Trask and figuring out whether or not he's going to be the guy. Preseason is going to tell us all. And Tom's not playing in this Dolphins game, so I don't see why we shouldn't just let Trask take the reps. Let him be the guy. Let's find out how good he really can be. There were some highlights last year. I go back to the Texans preseason game last year. There were some nice things that Kyle Trask did. So I think, you know, again, let's see what Blaine Gabbert does. Let's see what Kyle Trask does. I'm all for that. And let's just see what the young kid got, what he has. Because, again, he's either going to be the starting quarterback next year, or Tampa Bay's got to figure somebody else out for the starting quarterback position once Tom Brady leaves. Because I actually think that this is Tom's last year. I think he goes to the booth next year.
Look, I agree with you. The feeling I got at camp is, you know, and I've been to a lot of different camps, but stepping on that practice field, it's like, this is a championship level team. We are here to win the Super Bowl. There are stars all over the field. That's what I felt. And I felt that way also, Anthony, where it's like, you know what? This is the last hurrah for Tom Brady. I don't know why. I felt that in my gut. Why did you feel that when you were there at camp?
I feel like it's the very least, it's his last year in Tampa. But I do think that he's playing at age 45. He's playing where he said he wanted to, at the age he wanted to. And so I think that this is just it for him. I mean, and I think this is also a great shot for a Super Bowl. I think that's the other part of this. I think this team is hungry. This team doesn't have the hangover from a Super Bowl. This team's hungry. And because they also know there's a sense of urgency. This is their, you know, for guys like Devin White and other corners and younger players that are on this team, and you go to some of the vets like Julio, obviously, but also Levante David, this might be their last best shot to get another Super Bowl ring or even pick up their first. So I think there's just that sense of urgency, and there's just that hunger that, you know, again, it was tough for that team to try and replicate that because they were the target. Now the Rams are. So now they're, again, the hunters, not the hunting. And so I think that with that being said, I think this is just the best shot that Tom has with this team. I think Tampa has shown everything they can to get the best players around him so that way we can go win a Super Bowl, because I think it just feels like Tom Brady needs to win a Super Bowl and then he retires. That's how his career ends. It just feels like that's how it's supposed to end.
Can my team win the Super Bowl, or is Tom Brady only allowed two? Come on. Can I win?
I mean, hey, listen, as a Bucs fan, my team's supposed to be the team that wins the Super Bowl every year. All right? Nobody else can. That's just how it goes. But no, I mean, we'll see. But at the same time, too, the NFC, Mark, I mean, who's threatening there? I mean, Aaron Rodgers is, I don't even know what he's taking at this point, some sort of hallucinogenic brew of some kind to find his inner peace and then dress up as Nick Cage from Con Air. I mean, I don't know.
I don't
know what's going on in Green Bay.
And then
the Rams, they're going to have to figure out how to not get injured. And that's going to be really, really tough from last year. So we'll see if the injuries don't pile up on them. And then do you really trust anybody out of the NFC East?
No. No, I don't. I don't. Flip a coin.
I don't trust the Eagles or the Cowboys.
Flip a coin who wins the division. I have no idea. Like, seriously. I'm trying to think. I'll do research. Like, what NFC East team wins the division 2 years in a row? Because it almost never happens in our lifetime. It's just constantly, like, it's some mediocre team going, you know, 9 or 10 wins, and they win the division, and then they blow it in the first round. Happens every year, buddy. It does.
It's like clockwork. It's fantastic.
The thing I'll tell you about the Rams, and I know this makes you want to vomit, is, like, the sneaky move that they made is they added Anthony Robertson from the Bears to be like Cooper Kupp's second guy in that offense. That is huge for them. Like, they might be even more dangerous. I'm sorry to tell you that.
Well, see, the thing is, I think the move for Bobby Wagner is a little more interesting.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough. That defense is going to be even tougher. But at the same time, too, they still got to find somebody off the edge. They added Von Miller. Von Miller was the difference maker. You go back to the playoffs last year, how many times did he come up with a sack for the Rams? They no longer have that in him. So that's going to be key. And then, yeah, like, you know, I mean, we'll see with Allen Robinson, because are they going to sign Odell Beckham Jr. too? I mean, he hasn't signed with anybody. Sounds like Green Bay may be interested, but they're not apparently interested enough to overwhelm him with any kind of significant offer, because he still remains unsigned. And the Rams, I mean, I don't know where they're going to get the money from at this point, but it seems like they're still in play for him. It'll be interesting, because now Matt Stafford does have that Super Bowl, and it's tough. I mean, let's face it. There's a reason nobody's repeated in nearly two decades.
That's crazy. Let's end with this. And I always appreciate coming on, Anthony. I channeled you the last 2 days where people are constantly talking about Deshaun Watson and the Browns and what are they going to do. And I'm like, they're a trash franchise. They're not going to make the playoffs, so who cares? I channel you like how you hatred for the NFC East. That's how I feel about the Cleveland Browns. Like, who cares? Oh, he's out for 6 games, out for 16. Whatever. They're not going to make the playoffs. Who cares? Stop talking about them. That's how I feel, Anthony.
Well, listen, here's the deal. I mean, now the Deshaun Watson talk's the big one, and it drives clicks and drives views and all that type of stuff. I mean, it's just like, it's a hot button issue. And listen, I'm not, we'll see what happens with the NFL. I mean, it feels like kind of, you know, the fact that, you know, now they're going to, you know, essentially disregard Sue Robinson's recommendation.
Yeah.
Her recommendation didn't make a whole lot of sense with what she said. It just feels like the last 18 months have been a complete waste of time. They should have just said, we're going with a year suspension. If you don't like it, fine, appeal, and then we'll go from there. I don't understand what the last 18 months was all about and why we waited 3 or 4 weeks when it felt like everybody already kind of knew what Sue Robinson was going
to
do.
I agree with you 100%. Good luck to the Browns. They've never been to the Super Bowl. I don't think since they came back in 99, I don't think they've won the division. I'm not kidding. Like,
no, they won it once because they did host a playoff game. It was 0-2. They lost to the Steelers in a comeback.
No.
Pittsburgh.
All right,
that's,
I'm looking.
Tommy Maddox was quarterback, I think.
I believe that game was in Pittsburgh. I'm going to look it up,
was
buddy.
It in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
I could have swore I thought it was in Cleveland. You might be right, though. You might be right. It might have been in Pittsburgh, now that I think about it.
All right, so you took your nephew along to Buccaneers camp. Is he now brainwashed to love your team?
Yeah, that was nice. Like I said, I enjoyed that. The only thing that kind of stunk is, unfortunately, my nephew kind of had to learn the lesson of that sometimes you just don't get what you want, because he really wanted the Tom Brady signature. Unfortunately,
yeah, good luck.
Tom Brady doesn't sign autographs, so my nephew was a little disappointed. We had to have that talk, but it was okay. He was taking for some ice cream, and as he looked back, he was, you know, happy. It was fun. You know, he got to be out there. He got to see the players, and I think he had a good time. So that's all that really matters. And he's still going to get a chance to go to a game, you know, later this year. I mean, dude, I remember being a 6-year-old Bucks fan, and I don't even remember going to training camp or even a game. I think my first game was like when I was 9 years old.
Did you get up early and drive over there, or did you spend the night?
Hell no, I didn't get up early. That's like a 4:30 wake up and drive.
I know.
No, Monday night, we drove over Monday afternoon, got a hotel for Monday night,
okay,
and did all that. We did drive back Tuesday, and I'll tell you, after the sun beating on you all day, that drive was tough. So we got back around in the afternoon, which was nice, and then I slept the next day.
I know. I was there Saturday morning, and then I stopped in Orlando for a bit, and then I went back. Like, I went to bed at like 7:45 on Saturday night. I don't blame you, dude. It's beyond hot. I don't know how those players do it. I have no idea in that heat. It's like incredible what they are. Well, the opener's at Dallas. Are you mentally prepared for this?
I am mentally prepared for our first four games. I'm looking forward to going to the Chiefs game. That's going to be a ton of fun. I'm just glad football's back, man. I'm ready for the fall season. It's my favorite time of year. I'm glad that we got football back. You know, college football's not that far away either, which is going to be exciting. It's the best time of the year, man. Football season is here.
I feel like we should fly to Atlanta and see the Buccaneers take the Falcons on. We should do that.
I guess we could. We could go to Carolina. I think that's towards the end of the year, too. I mean, you could see Baker Mayfield take him on. That might be a little bit more competitive.
No, let's go to Atlanta. All right, let's go to all of them. let's do it. Anthony Knockreiner, thank you so much for your help, and have a great day. All right, man?
Thanks, Mark.